You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning. Welcome to Riverside. My name is Keith, one of the leaders around here, and we're continuing on in our sermon series through the book of Exodus. Okay? Now, last week, either if you were here in person or watched online, Pastor Andrew preached through the passage where God parted the sea, right? He taught us through the passage where God parted the sea. And I'll just tell you what, Andrew, you did a good job last week. Would you guys agree with that? Yes, yes. I mean, for me, it was good to be underneath Andrew's teaching. He spent the week researching and studying the passage and how to teach us and walk us through the passage from the Bible. And for me, it was a really good teaching last week. And in general, that's a normal thing, right? It's pretty normal for people to gather and to sit underneath someone's teaching and to learn from someone who spent some time, you know, getting ready to teach. And I thought that was awesome. It happens a lot of times in our society. It's pretty normal. But something else that we did last week in the service that Pastor Andrew led, it was a little weird. Remember that? And honestly, it seems to happen every time Andrew leads the service. And it's just weird. You don't get to do this. What's this? It's just weird. You just laugh back there. That's it. This is weird. Now, and if I'll confess, almost every time I lead the service as well, I mean, we do this weird thing as well. I mean, you see, every week that we gather, we sing. And if you step back, it's a little bit weird, right? It's a little bit weird. I can't think of any other context where diverse people come around for the express purpose, in part, to sing. Can you think of any other context? Now, you might, every time you get in your car, you might sing by yourself, right? That's normal. And maybe you're at a sporting event and people maybe will chant a song together. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, it's kind of maybe a chant or a singing. Maybe we'll sing a little bit. That's not the purpose of being there. And yes, you might go to a concert. You might sing along with the band. But you're not there to sing. You're there to watch someone else perform. It's primarily a concert. But when we gather as a people, one of the primary things we do every single week is sing. And it's a little weird. It might not be weird for you, but if someone with no church background came in here, no religious background, sat down and said, okay, I'm expecting to be taught something from these religious people, and we just start singing, like together, it'd be a little weird. And for some of you, you're going, yes, it's weird for some of you. You're like, I don't like to sing. Some of you just check out when we sing. Some of you, though, are so burdened with grief, you're like, these songs are hard to sing. I can't sing these kind of songs. Which again begs the question, why do we do this on a regular basis? It's just weird. And we do this because honestly, it's biblical. And it's good for us. And by the way, God's worthy of it. And friends, if you look over all the scriptures, there's a lot of singing. There's a lot of singing in the Bible. At creation, the beginning of time, they were singing. Job chapter 38. Where were you, Job, when I laid the earth's foundation, aka creation, right? Where were you when I created everything? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. They're singing at the beginning of creation. The Old Testament is littered with songs of victory and songs of celebration. Today's text, by the way, is one of them. When Jesus is born, pretty important event for us followers of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 documents Mary's song. And then Luke chapter 1 documents Zechariah's song. And then chapter 2 has the angels singing. And then verse 28 of chapter 2 has Simeon singing. There's a lot of singing around Jesus' birth, right? By the way, there's also singing around his death. Did you know that? When it's almost time for Christ to be arrested and killed, We read this in Matthew's gospel. When they had sung a hymn, after Last Supper, when they had sung a hymn, they then went out. Mount of Olives. They're singing at the birth of Christ. They're singing as he's about ready to go to the cross. They're singing throughout all the Old Testament, the New Testament letters, lots of singing in between the cross and the resurrection and the final book of the Bible. Lots of songs, lots of hymns. And then the last book of the Bible, Revelation, there's a ton of songs. A lot of songs. We spent like 50-some, 40-some weeks going through Revelation last year. There's a song in chapter 1, a song in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 11, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 18, chapter 19. A lot of singing, right? And I didn't even mention there's an entire book of the Bible with 150 songs, right? Clearly, Christianity is a religion of singing. The people of God are clearly, we're called to sing. And in case you don't believe me just by that kind of support that there's a lot of singing in the Bible, let me read to you what Ephesians states. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing! And make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in our name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're commanded to sing. In today's passage from Exodus chapter 15, it's a very, very long song. We've already read it once in our call to worship, and now we're going to go through it again. And guess what? We're going to sing similar things together through it because we're commanded to sing. And so before we read today's text again, and before we sing in response to today's text, let's pause and acknowledge the Spirit of God with us and ask Him to open up our hearts and our minds and our voices and our singing voices to the Lord. Let's pray. Spirit, thank you that you empower us. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you meet us where we're at. Thank you that you then empower us to make joyful noises, even if we're not feeling joyful. Thank you that you are the author of everything good. And I pray this morning that we would have our hearts open and our artistry available and to worship you and to glorify you and to learn from you. Thank you for your word and thank you for the way you've created us for community to express together your glory and your goodness and your love. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So chapter 15 is where we're at. Verse 1, it says, and then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Now, how many people are singing together at this point? Probably a little bit over 1 million to 2 million people. We saw that last week. There are a lot of people singing together. And I'm sure their group was a lot like our group, right? Each week we gather here. We're not a couple million people, but I think globally we're well over a couple million people. But you know what I mean? Like locally we gather here each week to sing. And I can't help but think it's probably very similar. I mean, some of you have beautiful voices. Some of you lead us in worship because you have amazing voices, and I love listening to you sing. It's beautiful. I'm sure that was the case back then. And some of you, I listen to you sing, and I think you've got beautiful hearts. Your heart's in the right place. Thank you. You're singing a song later. That's not you. Your heart. I hope your heart's in the right place, but look. Singing in today's text is not just for the vocally talented. It didn't just say, and then the vocal ones got up and sang. It says, no, all of Israel, the entire community sang together. Not just the people who could hold a tune. No? Okay. But all of us. Joining their hearts, joining their voices together in a beautiful melody. So the community of God's people in this chapter are singing together. And here's the first verse, the first stanza, the first verse, you know, verse, not like Bible verse, but like stanza or verse of the song. I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver, he's hurled into the sea. That's what we saw last week. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name. Notice the pronouns here. Yes, they're singing this together, but it's also very, very personal. God is my strength. He's my salvation. He's my Father, and I will exalt him. They're not singing to a distant God. This is a very heartfelt song. And the first attribute they're going to praise God about, and by the way, there's lots of attributes in this song. The first attribute they're going to praise God for is his strength, his glory, and then it's all summed up in the lyric in verse 3 of God is a warrior. God's a warrior. Again, there's a lot of attributes about God in this chapter, and one of the attributes here, this is the first verse of the song, is God is a warrior. And we saw that. Andrew walked us through last week. God fights for his people. God is a warrior. And for some of us, you hear that, and it's a huge comfort because you've experienced oppression. You've experienced abuse. You've experienced things not being right. You've been hurt. And God, as a warrior, fighting for you, it's a very comforting thing. Others of us, maybe you like to picture a peaceful, tame, kind, passive God. And certainly, God is peaceful, right? He's certainly kind. But he's a warrior. He's a battle-tested, battle-scarred warrior God. This reminds me, it's important to never just reduce God to one characteristic. I see this happen a lot in people's theology. They've reduced God to one characteristic, which is true, but when you reduce him just to one, it's really lacking. To the point where it's probably not true. Like, look, God is love. Amen? I mean, God is love. I mean, that's God is love. And God also has wrath. It's just clear. And it's like, what do you do with that? Well, let's not reduce. Let's not try to make excuses. He is love. Amen. And I mean, yes, he also has wrath. He's a loving shepherd that pursues the sheep, especially the lost sheep. He also is a righteous judge. He is your loving father. You can climb in his lap and he will hug you and adore you and cuddle with you. He is the God that loves your soul. He's your daddy. He's your Abba Father. That would have been a huge thing to hear. He's your Abba. He's your daddy. You can get on his lap. He's also your king. Bow down. Face first. And be in awe. See, we praise God for all that he is, right? For all that he is. And at times, as Christians, we try to minimize one attribute of God, or we try to pit one attribute of God against another attribute of God, but when we do that, we reduce him, and then we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping a God in our image that we like. It's not the true God. We have a God that is loving and sacrificial and kind. We also have a God that is a warrior, who has righteous anger, who's battle-tested, who's the reigning king. He's amazing. So at this point, if you're able, let's stand. If you're not able, you can stay seated. And we're going to declare through song this amazing part of God's character and God's nature. Let me pray. I won't pray each time we do this, but I'm going to pray right now. God, you are King. You are Lord. You are Dad. You are a good Dad. It's sad that we need that adjective, but in a world of not so many good dads, we say you're a good, perfect Dad. In a world not so many good kings, you're a good, perfect King. And you're our King. You're our Lord. You're the warrior God that opposes evil, that fights against oppression and injustice, that is a righteous, powerful King. And so we worship you this morning. And have a seat. After the first stanza or verse of the song, Israel then goes on to sing about their deliverance. They recount their deliverance. Now it's interesting, last week Pastor Andrew preached through the historical accounting of the parting of the sea, right? He preached through the historical accounting of the seas being part and what God did. And now They're going to sing about, in a very documenting way, the same thing. They're going to sing about what we just saw happen. So verse 4 through 10, Pharaoh's chariots and his armies, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. We saw this last week, right? Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In your greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger, and it consumed them like stubble. But by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I'll pursue him. The enemy boasted, I'll overtake him. I'll divide the spoils. I'll gorge myself on them. I'll draw my sword in my hand and I'll destroy them, said the enemy. But no, you blew your breath and the sea covered them and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Again, Andrew preached on that last week. He taught us that last week. There were things in that passage on how we could teach children to remember this stuff. So he taught really good, by the way. I'm being serious. You taught very well. You sing really well as well. Yeah. So I'm not gonna do that, right? Unless you want me to re-preach the sermon for him? No, Clark said no. Okay, no. I'll just point out in verse 6, it does talk about God's majestic power. In verse 7, God overthrows opposing kingdoms. In verse 7, God's even praise for his anger. God's praise for his anger. Let me just point out, this is not Keith-like anger. Keith-like anger, I'm looking at my kids right now, is, you know, like off the cuff, just I don't have, like, oh, dad got angry. Tiptoe around dad. It's not that kind of anger. I'll remind you, God's anger is pretty slow. 10 warnings, right? Massive warnings, many opportunities to repent. But God is a God of justice. He is a God with righteous anger. And for that, he is to be praised. I love, by the way, verse 8. Love verse 8. By the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I run 3 days a week. I like to run. And so 3 days a week, I run. And every time I run, I snot rocket, around. Marty's run with me. Marty doesn't know this. Sometimes I'll fall back, and then I'll, so I don't hit him. You know, is it just me who does that? God is so mighty, his snot rocket parts the seas. Praise a God whose snot rockets part the seas. Praise God. Am I the only one who reads that and thinks that way? Am I the only one? Am I the only junior high at heart boy here? Is it just, yes? I theologically believe God parted the sea with a snot rocket. And for that, he is to be praised. For that, this is artistry. Andrew preached a historical account last year. I'm having artistic freedom through song and, you know, our God is to be praised. The same God, of course, the same God, of course, looked death in the face, right? Also came out victorious. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. I mean, our God is to be praised. And so at this point, I should probably just be quiet, right? We should probably just do that. So why don't you stand back up? We're going to join our voices together, and we're going to sing about this kind of God, this kind of event, this kind of accounting. You can have a seat if you're standing. I'm assuming if you're gathering with us online, you're standing as well if you're able. I just don't know. So, all right, so we're going to move on to what I would consider the third stanza, or the third verse from this song in Exodus chapter 15. It begins in verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. I'd find it interesting. In chapter 3, Moses asks a question. He says, what's going to happen if the people ask a question like, what is God like? What is his name? There's this question, what is God like? What's his name? In chapter 5, Pharaoh asks a question, who is the Lord and why should I obey the Lord? There's these questions that happen over and over again in Exodus. And now this song, there's a question, but it's not really a question. It's a question used to praise God. Praise, because we've seen the answers. There's no one like our God. His power and his glory have been on display. We've taught through his power and his glory on display. And now there's nothing to do other than praise him. And they use a question. Who among the gods is like you? It's another question. A lot of these kind of things happen in Exodus, but this question is used in an artistic form, set to a song meant to declare God's majesty and his glory and his awesomeness, and as the verse states, his holiness. There's no one like our God. No president, no pastor, no Supreme Court justice. No one is like our God. He is holy, which means set apart, unique, distinct. And as 12 years of pastoring this church, I've done many sermons on his holiness. I can go for 45 more minutes if you want me to teach you about holiness, but can you guess what we're probably going to do instead of me teaching about his holiness? Can you just guess? Unless I get a few amens, then I will preach. No amens. Fascinating to me. I'm a little disappointed, but it's not about me. He's holy. So with that said, if you're able, let's declare this truth. Singing is an art form. It's a storytelling. It's poetic. It's wonderful. And what I love about this song, I just love how much of God is in, obviously. But like, it starts off with singing about God's a warrior God. He's a warrior God, and you know, he's also now a holy God. He's holy. I just love that this ends now with a focus on our intimate, dedicated, all-encompassing, loving God. Like, it ends on the love of God. Not reducing one, not pitting one. He's just all of these. Yes, he's a warrior. He's also intimate lover of your soul, of your life, of your situation. He'll never fail. Verse 13. This is a song. This is not a sermon. This is a song. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear, and the nations will tremble, and anguish will grip the people of Philistines. The chief of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. That's going to be, by the way, coming in the book of Joshua. Terror and dread will fall on them. This is future-oriented. And by the power of your army, they will be still as stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you brought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them. You will bring your people in and plant them on the mountains of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, the Lord, your hands have established, and there, Lord, you will reign forever. We're planted with you, and you're the one that loves us and has redeemed us. And I just, wow. By the way, verse 16 speaks of another Passover, if you will. People passing over into the promised land. It's a very intentional language there, by the way. And if I were preaching today, I'll tell you what, that would preach, you know. Another Passover, they're going to pass over. You should preach. We do this kind of stuff. And if I was preaching, yeah. But we're not. I'm not preaching. Well, you know what I mean. That's not my, this is a song. So we've seen God's anger, we've seen his might, we've seen his glory, And it's all in the context of God's unfailing, redeeming love. And verse 13 states this: God's unfailing love is directed towards his redeemed, the people God has redeemed. And of course, preachers like me, we see a word redeemed and we get really excited, because I know the 10 minutes I could tell you right now about being the redeemed of God. And I have a whole, I could go. If you give me an amen, I'll preach. Oh! I know you do. I don't think I'm supposed to preach that 10-minute sermon there. That's not the point of today. We've already preached that last week. We've already were taught last week God redeeming his people through his might. We saw it. This is praising him for his redeeming power, praising him for his love. And by the way, this stanza is future-oriented. Do you see that? They've already looked back and sang about the parting of the seas. They've already looked back and sang about God's mighty hand at the Red Sea. They've already looked back and seen how God's defeated their enemies. And now they're looking forward in the context of God's redeeming love, and they're singing about the future. They're singing about the future, which they know there's still going to be struggle. They can also trust God with their future because they've seen him work in the past. So they've sung, God, you've been good to us in the past. And now they're looking forward and singing about how God's going to guide them in the future. In your strength, you will guide us to your holy dwelling. AKA, we know that you've been good to us. And we know you'll continue to be good to us. And we know you've been good to us in the past, and we trust you with our future. They look back and they sing, and they look forward in faith and they sing. So at this point, we're going to do those two things. We're going to look back together by celebrating communion as we're looking back at the victory of God. And then we'll sing another song that helps us look forward together. So to start off with, we're going to celebrate communion together as a way of looking back. So if you have your elements, they are by the door, take them out now. If you're online and you don't have any elements, go grab them. And if you're walking around now, you can go get them. Or my son Ben can walk you around some as well. Ben, just have people raise their hand and Ben will hand some out. Do you have some for your band, Andrew? Take some for your band. Just raise your hand and Ben would love to serve you. Pastor's kids love this kind of stuff. PKs love this. They're like, yes, Dad. I was hoping you'd call on me in the middle of service. Raise your hand and Ben will bring you one by. That'd be great. So communion is a way of looking back. Would you agree with me? Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we remembering? We're remembering that there's a point in time where God said, the warrior God, the loving God, the awesome God said, it's time. And he came down, took on flesh, lived a perfect life, taught amazing ethics, taught us how to live, demonstrated for us how to live. This is what we remember at the table, his body, his work, his life. Taught us what it means to follow, what it means to love, what it looks like to love. Love each other, love your friends, love your enemies. And then because there's a separation that comes because of our rebellion, he said, you know what? I don't want them to be separated from me. I'll take that upon myself. And he dies in our place. Although he's perfect, he's done nothing wrong. He takes our place and he dies on the cross. And then in a glorious move, we do this because we can't go to his grave. We don't know where it's at. And so as a way to remember this, we have these physical elements because he rose from the dead. And so because we can't go to his grave and have memorials, we have this beautiful symbol of his death, because we don't have the physical one anymore because we don't know where it's at because he's not there. Remember all of this when we do communion together. And we put these elements in our bodies. Do you remember his spirit dwells in us? We're now the temple of God. By the way, we're going to preach the tabernacle of God in this series where his holy presence dwelled. Oh my gosh, believers, wait till the preacher gets ready to preach on that one, because you're in the temple of God. You know that's going to preach, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We put these things in us because he's in us, his spirit's in us. And we remember this by this very physical act of remembrance. And so this morning, we take the bread in this wonderfully COVID-friendly packaging. So weird. But still good to remember. It's not the elements, it's the remembrance, right? It's this togetherness we're doing. It's remember that the night he was betrayed, he said, you know what? I'm becoming your Passover lamb. He broke bread and said, my body's about to be broken for you. I want you guys, when you gather, to do this in remembrance of me. Look back and always remember my broken body for you. And so this morning, church, we look back and we put in our bodies to remember the amazing love and work of Christ on the cross. Do this in remembrance of him. After the meal, they took the cup. He took the cup and said, this is a new covenant. This is a new Passover blood. This is a new thing going on. He said, I want you guys, when you gather, to drink from a cup in remembrance of me. Remember my blood shed for you, my blood that covers you. The blood of me as your Passover lamb. And so we put this in our bodies to remember his spirit in us, his work in us, his covering over us. So friends, do this in remembrance of him. So they looked back in the previous verse. We look back together, and then they sing about the future. And we're going to sing a song, a hymn of inviting God, inviting the Spirit to really form us, the future orientation for his kingdom, his glory, and his love, and his movement. So if you're able to, you're welcome to stand. You don't have to stand, by the way. If you want to sit and reflect, you're welcome to. And we don't know if all the Israelites were standing or sitting. We don't know. They didn't have a sound system, I know that for sure. But feel free to stand, feel free to sit, feel free to do whatever you want as we sing the song of the future. So those were the four stanzas, I mean, the way I would look at them, the four verses, the four stanzas of Moses' song that Israel sang together. After they sang together, I think something very special happens. In verse 20, a woman named Miriam stands up and she leads what I would call the chorus of the song that we've been looking at. She leads the chorus and it says, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel or a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her, and with tambourines and with dancing, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted, because both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. Miriam is described as a prophet. That's one who stands up and declares the mighty works of God or the mighty words of God. And she does that as she's leading all the women to sing what I consider the chorus of chapter 15. And by the way, I'll just point out, I believe some of the greatest songs of the Bible are led by and written by and sung by women. Here in chapter 15, we have the prophet Miriam singing, kind of putting a bow or a chorus on this song. In the book of Judges, there's a leader and a judge named Deborah. She sings a song. It's 31 verses, by the way. And after she sings the song, the Bible states that then the land had peace for 40 years. Now, I'm not saying there was peace because she sang a song. But I'm pointing out she leads the singing of this beautiful song about the mighty moves of God. And it leads, these mighty moves of God move, lead to a long period of peace. What might be one of the most beautiful songs in the Bible, a woman named Hannah sings. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2. And if you know the context of Hannah, then you read her song, it's glorious. I mean, she's facing trouble, heartache, troubles, anguish, and then she sings. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2. You got to read this woman's song. It's amazing. And then you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, singing a beautiful song surrounding the birth of Christ in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. Some of my favorite songs in the scripture. In today's passage from chapter 15 of Exodus, Miriam and other women, they get up and they dance with tambourines and they sing a chorus as a means to put a bow on this song. So put tambourines under some of your chairs. Go grab them. I'm kidding, there's no tambourines on the ground. Apologize for that. Actually, I don't apologize for that. I've been some church services where people bring tambourines and it gets a little crazy. Not like I'm okay with crazy. I'm okay with dancing. I mean, like, like rhythmically crazy. I'm okay with. Sean, I get off my manuscript. This is what happens, Sean. Sean goes, whenever Keith gets off the manuscript, this is what happens. Back. Now, we don't have tambourines to hand out today, but I hope, women of the church, are you okay if us men join in with this last song as well? If not, we'll be quiet. But are you okay? Are you okay if we can join you? Well, will you lead us? As if that wasn't planned. So let's together, one more time, join our hearts and our voices to praise our loving, gracious, delivering, redeeming King. Would you please stand if you're able? You guys can have a seat one more time. As you probably have noticed in this series, each week we're trying to give a practice, a way to like experiment what we've talked about, not just hear something and leave and nothing changed, but give us practice. We've talked about fasting and certain kinds of prayers and eating meals together and baptism we've talked about the past couple weeks. So I was trying to think, what's a good practice for this week? What would be a good practice? And what really came to mind was this. Like, the people of Israel, they went through an amazing experience together. And it's simply a song in response to what they had gone through together. They wrote a song in response to what God had done in their lives. And some of you are very poetic. And some of us are not, but that doesn't matter. We can still write, and we can still be creative and still express to God through art, through poetry, through song, through prose, through individual community, what he's done for us. And so this week, I'd encourage us, maybe together, maybe a home group should write a song together. That'd be amazing. That could be your home group guide. Just write a song together. Can you come to my group this week and just lead us? Because you're really good at that guitar stuff. No? Okay. So I want to encourage you, do something creative to kind of express to God. And secondly, there's these prayer books. They're called kind of like everyday liturgy books that I found. It's called Every Moment Holy. And what these basically are is just kind of like prayers and like liturgies for normal day things. Let me read one for you. Let me read the table of contents. Some mornings I read on page 135 of this book, for the ritual of morning coffee. This person wrote a liturgy and a prayer that you can like read and express to God before you drink your morning coffee. And it's amazing. I mean, if you want to come look at it, it's up here. It's amazing. One is for those who are flooded by too much information. You mentioned that. A prayer for paying of bills. Obviously, life is hard, and so there's a whole separate volume on death, grief, and hope. One is for forgiving of unintended wounds. One is, I'm just reading these, for the removal of one's wedding ring. One is for distill courage in a child facing death. I mean, someone at one point had a child facing death, and before that child was passing away, they wrote a prayer to undergird their family in that situation, and they documented it here. It's amazing. And I love this, by the way. It's an amazing resource. I'll leave them up here. But and it's linked as well on our website, our practices page. I want to encourage you. This is just I just love it because it's just taking normal everyday things and artistically writing a liturgy or a poem or a song or a prayer or an expression of the heart. That's so much better than a preacher giving you a propositional statement. I mean, preachers giving propositional statements are good. Amen? Amen. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. But I'll tell you what, this has been a blessing for me. And more than that, like I'm meeting with one of you this week to talk through a song. And actually to talk through a prayer. Last week we talked through two songs that you wrote. And they're beautiful expressions of what God's doing in this person's life. We met together to talk about their songs. As a pastor, that was really cool. I know some of you who write poetry. People would not know you write poetry. I've read your poetry. That's what encourages us. Let's use the gifts God's given us, be it writing, poems, whatever. If you write code, can you write code to the glory of God? Probably. I don't know how. Joel, can you write a code that would be a... That's your practice week. Can you write code that... I'm not reducing. You may be a very great poet. I don't. This is what happens when I get off my manuscript right here. This is what happens. I see a bird and I take it. With that said, let me just speak a blessing over you. And we can just go do the things of God. Sound good? I'm going to just stand. Oh, man, Andrew, look at me. This is what happens. This is why a manuscript. I still need the affirmation, so thank you. God, thank you. Thank you that this is a people that we can laugh together, cry together, sing together, write poetry together, mourn together, be silent together, be sad together. Thank you for knitting us together by your Spirit. Knitting us together around the table of communion, knitting us together through the word of God that we yield our lives to, knitting us together as we mutually submit to one another, and knitting us together through song and hymns with one voice. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray over you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.